Well, it's 11:15, so Mabel Louise Stewart is here faithfully Tuesdays and Thursdays. Good morning.
Good morning, and hello there to you folks out there. Yep, the sun is shining at the studio, and it feels nice and warm. It's closer to us now, isn't it? And even with the cold temperature, it feels good. And it looks like spring might be around the corner. Don't you hope? My goodness, with all the snow piled up everywhere. And you know what? Before I get into my message, I have a special request to ask of you out there. Listen closely, because I want you to tie a string around your finger. Yes, because Carol has scheduled me to join Paul and shoot some hoops. That's right. And it's going to be at 4 o'clock on the 7th. That's this coming Thursday. Will you plan ahead and take time out and call in during that segment and make a pledge on so that we can be the winner? You know why? Because last year, Paul and I won, and we'd like to do it again. So please don't forget. Remember, that's this coming Thursday at 4 p.m. Make that old telephone ring, and we'll be happy to hear from you. Well, today I would like to begin a series of messages on the 23rd Psalm. Yes, I bet you've said it many times. But before I do, I would like to give you a short history of the book of Psalms, so that you can kind of think about, since it was written in a different time, as a time of writing, that you will understand what David is trying to tell us. And the Psalms really are called the Songs of the Ages, or I like to call it God's Hymn Book. In Bible times, the Psalms were chanted by the Levitical choirs in the morning and evening worship. And some were in speech, and some were in song, and actually some were in chant, and always used in the celebration of the great national feasts. And they were sung at that time and enjoyed by the people. None had been written by print, but they were memorized and handed down by memory. Excuse me. The people sang the Psalms in their homes as they had family worship. They would just sit around the fire before retiring, and the children would ask for their dad to tell them a story. And he would relate the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and other wonderful stories of the Old Testament. And the people had been instructed by God himself to do just that, to teach their children. And as proof of that, I wanted to read to you today Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And here's kind of my verse for the day. You parents, listen up, because it's what the Lord would have you to do. Here's how it goes. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt, listen to this now, teach them diligently, that means work at it, unto your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, keep before the children all day the presence of the Lord. Bring up subjects that would wind around the Lord. And that's so easy to do. My, if you take a walk, you can talk about the trees and talk about the bugs and all the things that God created. And it says, goes on and say, and these words I command thee. In other words, this was an order. And to teach diligently. And then it goes on to say, to write them on the posts of your house and on your gates, so that the children are aware that you love the Lord as a parent and you want to glorify him. And these verses tell us that children are to be instructed in the home concerning spiritual matters. In other words, don't wait for the church to have to do it. It helps, and it's certainly is wonderful to take your children to Sunday school and church, but it's not enough. It needs to come from the home. And James 5:13 says, is any merry? Let him sing the Psalms. When the apostles went to minister in obedience to the Great Commission, that is, to preach the gospel to the lost world, they took the old Hebrew Psalms and they became the first great missionary hymns. Really, before the 15th century, the Psalms were memorized by hearing, for there were no songbooks and no printing presses to ever print out the words. Actually, the printing press was invented way ahead, beyond, in 1440. Think about that long stretch of time to have only the Word of God written by the scribes. And in those days, only the priests would have had a handwritten copy. So God's word at that time was written on scrolls, and they would be unfolded and read by the priests in their worship services. So the people had to really be good listeners and have open hearts to memorize God's hymn book. And the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer, perhaps you realize it along with me, that they are the most familiar portions of Scripture in the entire Bible. I don't know about you, but I memorized both when I was a child. So, Lord willing, I plan to quote the 6 short verses before I begin each message. And while I'm doing that, I hope you will join me as I attempt to explain each verse from a real shepherd's point of view. Literary critics value the 23rd Psalm as a masterpiece of lyric poetry. It's not just a simple little poem, nor is it easy to understand. Actually, we value it so much because it's personal. God demonstrates the same patient, tireless care of his people that a good shepherd shows his flock. Actually, the psalm affirms a wonderful personal faith in God. And that's the kind of faith King David had. And the words to the psalm reveal a personal God who relates to each of us as individuals. Of course, we need to realize that it was written in a different place and at a different time than ours. But believe me when I say our Lord, the Shepherd, has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Commentaries tell us that it was probably written in David's older years. One writer said, and I thought it was so good as I was doing my research, he said it must have been written in David's twilight years, for they are words of a man who has lived much, done much, and one who has greatly sinned and been greatly forgiven. You see, David is remembering his early boyhood days when he cared for his father's sheep. If you ever visit Florence, Italy, or maybe you've been there, you could see an 18-foot-tall statue of David. By the way, it's still standing. And it's placed in the Galleria dell'Accademia. Michelangelo carved it, and he made that statue. It took him 4 years to do so and to finish it. I understand that the task of working on it was difficult because he was working with a piece of flawed marble, and the block had been damaged when it was removed from the quarry. And I guess we can say David was damaged too, wasn't he? He had a flawed life like you and me. And in his young life, he was abused as a child. He was left all alone. And his life was nearly ruined so many times. And the world could never meet David's needs. But guess what? That's right, God did. He saw that lonely young man, ragged, love-starved boy, as no one else did, and God set out to shape him into the man he wanted David to be. And by the way, isn't that exactly what God wants to do with you and me? That's right. He looks at us just like David, as lost sheep who need a Savior to guide us and to direct our lives. Well, in Bible times, tending the sheep was the lowest job in the household. You see, a shepherd was expected to sleep outside with his flock in all kinds of weather. Yes, it was a dirty and often dangerous job. Yet the psalm teaches us of the Lord's wonderful, tender care. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." John 10:4. So if you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, you can rest in his unconditional love. I was born and raised on a farm, and only a short time did my father raise sheep. My dad preferred raising cattle, and he only raised a small number of sheep to please my older brother. You see, the sheep soon ruined God's pasture land because they chewed that clover down so close to the ground that it died, and that was enough for my dad. It ended. The sheep were sold. It's interesting, isn't it, that God has provided us domestic animals such as, well, the horse, the cow, the sheep, the dog. And most of those animals are able to care for themselves and fight off predators. But guess what? Sheep are helpless to any enemy. A sheep has no defense. It can't run fast like a deer. It has no claws to tear. It has no teeth to seize a prey. Not only is a sheep helpless, but it seems to be the dumbest of all animals. A dog or a horse can find its way home from a distance, but not a sheep. A sheep could be right in sight of the barn and still not know the way back home. No wonder the Lord Jesus looked on the poor, sinning, blinded, insecure, troubled, wandering people and had so much compassion. He said about us, we were as sheep having no shepherd. We have a good shepherd who wants to have a personal relationship with us. And he promised to provide that very need. Yes, he forgives us our sins if we confess and repent. He promises also to protect us from evil and to comfort us. He even wants to use the difficult things that we experience for our good. One day, every believer can rejoice and join Jesus in heaven, where the Good Shepherd is preparing a place for you and me. You see, he promised, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." 19th century Scottish pastor Andrew Bonar said, "In the Highlands of Scotland, sheep occasionally wander off among the rocky crags, and they get themselves trapped on dangerous ledges. They become so attracted by a little section of sweet grass on the mountainside, and they would leap down 10 to 12 feet to just get that grass. But the trouble is, they can't get back up. Well, a shepherd has to allow that helpless animal to remain there for several days until it becomes so weak it's unable to stand up. And then finally, the shepherd will tie a rope around his waist and go over the cliff to the rocky shelf and rescue that sheep that had gone astray." Someone asked Bonar, "Why doesn't the shepherd go down right away and rescue that sheep?" And then he answered, "Sheep are so foolish. They would dash right over the precipice and be killed if the herdsman didn't wait until their strength was nearly gone." Isn't that just like human nature? Man tries to gain salvation by his own efforts. And during my sweetheart and my husband's ministry, we often stood together at the bedside of desperate people who only months before had pushed aside salvation by grace. They had tried to make themselves acceptable to the Lord by improving their lives. And not until they were helpless did they realize they could not escape from that ledge of no return. Then they were ready to accept help from the Good Shepherd. How long does it take to realize that it's impossible to get to heaven on your own? But praise the Lord, there is hope. The moment you admit you are helpless and you need Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you can have salvation immediately. If you're at that point today, Jesus is waiting. Jesus the Shepherd is waiting to save you. And I would say to you as I go off the air, trust him today. Bye-bye.